in a funny sentence to utter, Casey's out there grabbing food that Leezy brought in. I forgot Leezy works here. Like, Leezy, like, as a shoot works here, and I completely forgot. I can't believe these wide receivers are still dropping the ball before the end zone. Like, that's such an old, like, tired thing. Like, come on, man. Be better than that. We were talking about a little bit as it pertains to Prize Picks, man. There's some good lineups out there for the Sacramento Kings regarding Prize Picks. But the Kings are in Atlanta tonight. Kings fans kind of hoping the vibe continues. Back-to-back wins for the Sacramento Kings. Good call there on the Kevin Huerter play with Trae Young potentially on him. The way he's been playing, the way he's been shooting, he's been playing with a good deal of consistency, man. He could potentially ramp it up. And I think there's a scenario where maybe some guys in the Kings offense who haven't been shooting the ball well are going to be able to ramp it up. But Kevin is a good pick tonight. Plus, Atlanta, maybe some vibes there. Like, hey, let me show y'all what I'm about this year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, what it boils down to, whether it's Kevin, whether it's Malik, whether it's De'Aaron, as Kyle Mattson was talking about a second ago, get the win. Three straight bad teams in a row.
Yes.
Get three wins in a row. Don't apologize for your record or your schedule. Get yourself above 500 for the first time this year. And I think once we start to get, that's five in, once we start to get to that 10-game mark, that's where I feel like you really settle into the season.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes like a... We here.
We're here. In the regular season. I want to see the Kings get focused and get greedy this weekend. Give me both of these games. Give me both of these. And you know, usually, like when I talk about, oh, give me a split. You know what I mean? Because usually, rarely do I say win all the games, right? But no, win these two games. I don't care if it's a back to back. I want to see you guys take that step to say. What we've been saying kind of all week is when you play these teams that are lesser than, you're going to handle business. I want to see them get greedy this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One isn't enough. Give me both of these games this weekend. I think they can do it. I think that's the mindset they're going to come out with as well.
I'm with that. I love that. Especially given, well, Toronto's not good, but they're missing their best player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got two games against Toronto coming up. In a handful of days, Scotty Barnes isn't playing in either of those. Run them out of the gym, and that's the great part about what we saw yesterday and the day before. That's what they did.
Yeah,
they did that with Portland. They did that with Utah. It's I don't think they're gonna do that every game they play against a team like that this year.
Mm.
Man, I'd love it if they did,
right.
But like. There's good nights, there are bad nights.
Right.
I think when you start this season, you don't want to have too many of those bad nights, especially against teams like that. If you have a bad night against the Boston Celtics, you have a bad night against the Oklahoma City Thunder, you don't want it, you don't invite it, but you can kind of deal with that a little bit more than if you have a bad night against the Utah Jazz or in my opinion, the Atlanta Hawks. Minimize those bad nights against those bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you talked about that earlier this week. Again, I don't think they're going to win every game they play against teams like this. But damn it, win every game right now.
Yeah, simple as that, man. It's going to take a level of focus. You know what I mean? And that's something that they didn't always have last year. You know, focus in these situations. It's going to take you to stay locked in. Tonight. After travel, after a couple days off, get locked in here, win this game. Say you win tonight. Don't get fat and happy. Yeah, we know you're on a back-to-back. Yeah, we know you got to go through customs and all this other stuff. We know all that. Get focused and win the game. Win the game. It's gonna take a level of focus and maturity from this group that will say, it'll say something to me if they're able to do it. Maybe I'm, you know, cushioning the blow a little bit. It won't say much to me if they don't. You know, if they go 1-1, it's not going to be like, oh, this team isn't focused or whatever. It's going to be, I'm going to look at it as a missed opportunity.
Yep.
But it will speak volumes if they are able to get this done. Give me both of them.
Oh, it'll say volumes if they get both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And who's after that again? Oh, Miami.
Miami.
So that's inarguably the toughest game of the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest game of the road trip. A team that they've notoriously struggled with.
Right. They're not playing great right now. Either.
They're not. But they're always a group of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
and they can, they, you can, and you could lose a game to them 96-88.
Right.
Seems ridiculous, right. But you can, like, you can get kind of brought down into playing a nasty game with them, and that's tough.
I'm trying to see. I think they'll be good. I was trying to see if they'd be on a back-to-back, but they had a nice little stretch off. Miami did. They played yesterday. Or excuse me. They played on Wednesday against the Knicks. They don't play again until tomorrow. So
damn.
Yeah, they got to. You know, Coach Swo gonna have them working on some stuff right now.
So they don't. You said they don't play again until tomorrow. Oh, so that. But the Kings game is until what? Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who do they play tomorrow?
Washington. And Washington.
Washington's what, 2-2?
2-2, yeah. We mentioned it yesterday, man. Jordan Poole out here. Nice start to the season.
Well, so is Kuz, right?
Kuz is doing
Kuz 20-plus?
Yeah, that's something. I'll double-check.
If only there's a way we could find out.
You hear Kuz said he's done with, like, leak fits and stuff?
I did.
So it's too much pressure?
Yeah. He said he's just buying clothes just to buy clothes. I understand that.
Yeah. I ain't mad at him.
I understand that.
But no one was checking for that either, bro.
What do you mean?
He says, like, oh, it's too much pressure. Like, people was watching to see we weren't. Like, no, we weren't. Like, just be real with yourself. Like, no, no one was checking for Kyle Kuzma's league fits, bro.
Oh, I think that's cap.
Who?
I think league fits.
Well, so here's the thing.
Kuz is always one of the guys who's looked at
it. But no one would
have
been like, oh, Kuz didn't wear something cool today. Like, no one would have cared.
Nah, I think they would have caught up, like, hey, Kuz has been low-key all year. I think they would have caught up to that. Like, Kuz had a very eccentric style.
He did. But
well, and
you get the
all,
point
was,
I'm making, though.
Was someone asked about, did someone
what
ask
hell,
him?
Is that snow or, oh, that's just rain. Oh, sorry about that.
Did someone ask him?
I don't know.
Or was he, hey, Kuz, tell us about that play in the third quarter. I got tired of buying clothes, man, so I'm just rocking these essentials.
No, he was doing like for an article or something, but it's like, honestly, you could have stopped, I think.
I feel like that's part of Kuz's identity. I'm all right with it. I don't know why you guys hate Kyle Kuzma.
No, I definitely don't hate Kyle Kuzma. Try trading for him this offseason.
But he, number one, you don't have to wear something every day like that. Number two, you could have just started going to the games how you're going to the games.
Wear a hoodie, bro. It's cool.
That's it. And maybe they asked him too, but we don't need the announcement. Amir today, guys. I just want to let everybody know I'm stepping down from League Fits. My time has come to an end. I'll be taking questions.
Kuzma walking to the locker. Yes, it's Gucci. Leave me alone. Gosh. So much pressure.
Man, you guys are jerks, man. Then they had, who was this? Jay Huff dressing as him. This is dumb. He's wearing is a pink sweater with something clearly over his arms or his hands that drag to the floor.
Well, that's the clap. You know what that is when you see that. That is the Kuz.
But that's whack.
That's the Kuz right there.
That's whack.
The fact that he did that, or
it's a whack costume.
Oh no, I think that's the Kuz.
That's a whack costume, and that's a dumb shirt that Kyle Kuz wore. That was one of his.
Where
worst
are you seeing this at?
SportsCenter tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
They had the side by side. You didn't see it?
I saw it, but I was trying to get another look at it right now.
Nah, it's lame. Like, because he's wearing just a regular sweatshirt. Well, it's not regular. That actually looks like. Oh, no.
Oh, I got to get
it. It actually looks like a sweatshirt that someone, like, drew
oh,
on.
Oh, no. Now I look at it again.
That's whack.
Well,
that's
whack, but it is the costume, though. It is the costume. Like, you know what time it is when you see it. I give an A for effort. Because I know what you were trying to do. He's not gonna get. He probably can't get the exact one. He can't get it.
Jay Huff ain't poor.
Who is he?
I don't know.
Maybe he is. Poor.
He can't.
I don't know.
Was he the Freeport version of Memphis? Hold on. Don't think I won't press that music again.
Jay Huff and Freeport Huff.
Don't think I won't press that music again.
free Pornhub, man.
Oh, come on, man.
How many years has he been in the league?
3 years.
What? No, you lying.
He ain't been in the league. 3 years. How many G League teams?
What school he go to?
Virginia.
Oh, I think actually I do kind of remember him now.
Is this right? He ain't been in the league 3 years. Where is
three games? Maybe
here? Might be 3 games. Oh, he played for the. He played for the Lakers.
The Mad Ants. That's who he played.
Hey, good. Good for Jay Huff. He had a couple of Exhibit Tens, some 2-way contracts.
And he got a
contract now that will, when it wraps up after 2027, we'll pay him $10 million.
Oh, hell. What the hell? Hey, I would have never thought
that's
that.
That's a good look right there.
Hell yeah.
That's a good $10
million.
Right,
I thought you were going to say like 1.3.
Well, that last one's a club option.
Well, how much?
$7 million. It's a $3 million club option. What I mean is, he would have earned $7 million if they don't activate that club.
Take that $7 million, Jay Huff. Absolutely,
it's gonna be tough.
I thought you was gonna say like 1.3. Damn, he getting paid. He is not Freeport.
No, he's fine.
He's in the Sac City side of Freeport.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll take a look around the rest of the league. Talk about the Grizzlies. Man, the story might not even be the Grizzlies. The stories might be the Bucks. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll take a look around the league. James Hamm going to join us at 2 o'clock. A little bit of a switch up here on this Friday. James Hamm will be with us at 2 o'clock. Eddie Gonzalez coming up at 3 o'clock. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. And his behavior continues to...
No, that was a young boy, man. I can't even front, man.
Patrick Willis all over the radio in San Francisco today. Could have been us.
I know. I got to wear that one, guys. I got to wear that one.
Could have been us.
At least
could've
Jason Barrett.
Bucks got blown out by the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh, let's start with this. That Paolo injury was a lot worse than they originally reported.
Damn, man.
I mistakenly read it as an oblique tear and was like, oh, that's my bad. It's a strain, an abdominal strain. Came back, nope. We were right the first time.
Damn.
He is out indefinitely, but the timeline is 4 to 6 weeks at minimum.
I hate to see that. He had such a good start to the season, man. He was about to do some stuff to start the season. He's probably going to make another All-Star. He made the All-Star team last year, didn't he?
Paolo did.
He was on his way to doing it again.
I think so.
That's
tough. That's tough for Orlando. That's really tough for Paolo, man. He was playing great. But, yeah, he'll be out for the next, at minimum, 4 to 6 weeks. He'll be reevaluated, then they'll go from there.
Yeah.
The direction we were heading, the Bucks got blown out by the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, for those who haven't been following, they're 3-3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
That is a little along the lines of what I expected from them, and obviously we're talking 6 games here. That's closer to what I expect to see from them this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they hit a stride, maybe that completely changes, but I kind of thought they'd be in the vicinity of a 500 team, plus or minus 2 or 3. But that's probably not the story in that. The story is that the Bucks are 1-4, and Dame is struggling.
Ooh, Dame does not look good right now. He does not look good. He looks like somebody that's searching to find I don't want to say a place on this team, but
he's
caught between, hey, I got to get these guys involved because it can't just be me and Giannis, mm-hmm. and they still need me to score 30-some points.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the way he looked yesterday. I was watching that game. I didn't like the way he looked. He was, yeah.
Playing or body language?
Playing.
Yeah.
Playing. Just didn't look comfortable. Didn't look like he was hurt or nothing like that, but just didn't look comfortable out there and sure what he was doing. Memphis really bothered him yesterday. So, yeah, Milwaukee and that Memphis team, they were without Desmond Bane and without Marcus Smart in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to work on Milwaukee. So, things aren't looking good over there.
Yeah, 26% from 3 for Dame. He's had he had a 30-point game to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like literally game 1 of the season. it has not been smooth ever since. It's been rough for Milwaukee. It's been rough for Dame. And they just look, they look lost. They look like a mess.
Was Dame a bad move? You're training for Dame Lillard, but if you look at the context of it all, like, you did that because Giannis was kind of teetering. I don't know if I'm going to be here. Like, they better do something. And, like, you did, but it hasn't helped you at all.
I think you
had... Was it a panic move?
I think you had to try it.
Yeah.
I think you had to try it. I thought...
Because you alley-ooped Jrue Holiday to Boston.
That's what I was going to say. Like, does Boston win the title without Jrue Holiday?
Maybe, maybe not, but I know Milwaukee. To me, the way I look at Milwaukee, nothing changes if they keep Jrue Holiday. They're not winning a champion. And
but
it's not
you can
Jrue
make
Holiday's
the argument
fault.
They're worse.
That's hard to tell because last year in the playoffs, they lost their two best players. That's one of the reasons why they didn't get out of the first round, I think.
For sure.
So and
but it happened.
Yeah, but because injured, Jrue Holiday could have got hurt, and they would have not got out of the first round. So, I don't think they would. Even if they were better, like their goal was to win a championship, they weren't winning a championship with Jrue Holiday. That team, and this is kind of the thing. I think they knew it, and we're like seeing it in real time. The window's closed for that group. They've had 6-7 seasons of championship level, like we're one of those teams, and that's over. And there's nothing wrong. That's what happens. That's what windows are. Windows typically are 5 years or something like that. You've exhausted that. Chris Middleton was a big part of what's going on there. He's injured. He can't. Yeah. His career is on the brink right now.
Yep.
So I think you had to try it. I didn't have any problem with them trying it because the team that was there, it wasn't going to happen. I mean, they had just come off losing as a one seed in the first round.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's why you call it a gamble, because it might not work.
True.
And this might not work. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not prepared to say, oh, it didn't. It was an epic failure. But it's not working. Like, and even if you go back and use the argument that their two best players got hurt, that's still going to be part of the story. Like, the same thing happened with Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Harden was playing with one hamstring. Kevin Durant's shoe size was half a size too big. Otherwise, the conversation is likely entirely different. Mm-hmm. But once you get far enough away from that, that's not going to be brought up again.
Right.
Like, what we just brought up is probably never going to be brought up again. Dame and Giannis being hurt that first playoff round, that's not going to be brought up a year down the road where you're looking at this team that might not ever approach expectations. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was just a failure. Yeah. And Boston won a championship out of this.
Well, that was the tough part about it is indirectly, he got reworked to Boston. That's the only thing, because like I said, when Jrue was there, they was a one seed that lost to an 8 seed in 5 games. It wasn't even a 7-game series. So as that collective, they had already maxed out. But losing Holiday and him eventually going to the Boston Celtics, mm-hmm. your rival, that's the one that's salt in the wound right there for what happened. The Jrue Holiday would have stayed in Portland, you know, and I don't know, went to Minnesota. It wouldn't be as big of a deal as him going to Boston and Boston.
Yeah, it's a Western Conference team. That's your direct competitor.
Yeah. That's tough. But the thing that I do.
It's tough for their coach.
Well, hold on. Don't do that. I wish you'd tell the whole story when you talk about that. I mean, I really do. You're leaving a big part of this out.
Pause, Doc. But also, I don't know that he can talk himself out of this one. Like, if this goes south, he's gonna get buried for this.
Should he?
Probably not.
Yeah,
probably.
But that's
not
the nature of the beast.
Yeah, I mean, it's Doc, and Doc is a dude who gets hate. Like, people hate Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. Like, where does it feel? Like, people hate that dude.
They Securing the Bagley in the chat. He, you know, Doc ain't it. He's talking about Adrian Griffin. They were 30 and 13. They had a better record, but I'm a listen.
Well, there was something wrong with Adrian. Yeah, there was something wrong with that relationship. I'm going
to listen to the people close to that situation.
There was something wrong with that relationship.
Yeah. The killer for Milwaukee for me, though, is they should have never re-signed Chris Middleton. I don't know why they did that. We were all on the show saying it looks like the guy's finished.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed him to like a 3-year, $100 million deal or something like that. And I don't know why you would do that. You could use, my thought is maybe there you couldn't.
But yeah, you
my
probably thought was couldn't.
You could use that money elsewhere in free agency. You could use some of that money on a couple different.
Well, that's what it would be, though. It would be some of that money. Like, I don't, it's not, I know you know that it's not like there's $100 million right. open because they don't sign Chris Middleton.
Right.
It might be. Go ahead, Jesse.
I'll just say, too, besides Middleton, like, I saw a good point on Twitter. Milwaukee hasn't developed a damn thing.
I saw a good point on Twitter. It's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, it's wild. But, yeah, Milwaukee hasn't developed, like, any young players. They're just really, they've been the same since they won the ring.
I think they've been so freaked out by the... They've been so freaked out by the Giannis stuff. Mm. I think that's part of it. Like the talk and little old Milwaukee and big bad Giannis. And, well, you know, we gotta jump through all of these hoops and do all of this. And we got to make sure he's okay. And we got to roll the dice on this and roll the dice on that. And he likes Chris Middleton. We got to keep Chris Middleton. We got to keep his brother around. That makes him happy. And maybe they've just been a kind of a slave to that line of thinking.
Yeah, quite possibly. You could argue whether or not they should have brought Brooklyn.
Which might be back. LeBron James's greatest influence on the league. Mm. When you talk about a guy who like changed the game, LeBron getting up and leaving Cleveland the way he did is ultimately what like started all of this. And I think it terrifies these teams now. And then you know the evolution of the decision, so to speak, is, yeah, I know there's other examples, but Anthony Davis wanting out a year and some change left on his contract so he can get where he wants to go. Mm-hmm. And Clutch Sports using all of that leverage. That's what teams are freaked out by. And I think when you have, and there aren't very many, there's Giannis, there's Joel, there's a handful of guys. Like, I don't even think Jokic falls into this category. Because I don't think Jokic will ever ask out. I think Jokic would just be like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm going to go feed my horses. Yeah. I'm out.
That's when he's going to
You
get
guys
hyped.
Suck. Yeah. Like, I'm leaving.
That's when he's going to get hyped when he can do that.
Yeah. That's when he might smile.
Yeah.
But all of these other teams, like, you have those handful of guys in the league that you do everything to. You cater your entire world to them, and there's going to come a time when you do that it's going to fall apart. Mm. It's going to fall apart for Milwaukee. It's going to fall apart for Milwaukee. It's going to it fell apart for Dame. In Portland, it's going to fall apart for Philadelphia. Mm. Now, whether those guys stay there or not, that's another story. Whether they just, no, I'm finishing my career here. And like Dirk, mm-hmm. the Dallas wasn't good. They got Luka, but the team still wasn't good. Mm. Good. Just finish it out. It's fine.
That's
what those guys got to decide if they're going to do.
The other aspect of it is it's I think we all kind of second-guessed the Middleton contract when it happened. But even then, I mean, okay. Like, I understand it. The Dame trade, all this other stuff. They were still the 3 seed, you know, going into the playoffs, going into playoffs where all that mattered was the playoffs. So you were about to get to that, and Giannis damn near rips his Achilles a week or two before the playoffs start. And I don't care if you would have kept Jrue Holiday or not. Like, that was it. That was your season. That was it. And it's easy for us to say they made the wrong moves or they shouldn't have done this trade. But things were going relatively okay. Like, they weren't the best, but like I said, they were the 3 seed. They were putting themselves in a position to make a playoff run. And right before the playoffs, your best player goes down. Like, it don't matter what deals you made or wouldn't have made. It wouldn't have mattered in that situation. So... It's tough. I also look at it as, you know, their time with this group is coming to an end. It's coming. It just happened. They've been They've been at this since like 2018.
Yeah.
And all good things come to an end.
And that might be what we're looking at with Milwaukee. I don't think they're a 1-4 level team throughout the year. They're not a 25, you know, a 250 win percentage.
They got a couple of rough losses that you can't explain. That I think they lost to Brooklyn and Chicago. Well,
and that's the Trista conversation. That's the stuff I worry about. Mm. Talent wise, this team, I mean, maybe they're not good enough because we've seen Giannis. Giannis had, did I make note? He had 37 last night. Giannis had 37 and 11.
The game had
four.
Well, but even to that point, though, too, the other night, Dame and Giannis combined for like 70, and they still lost. I think that was the Boston game. So, like, even if Dame plays good, maybe they win last night if he plays good. But we've seen them both play good, and it doesn't matter. Like, they don't have enough around them.
You guys think Giannis is in Milwaukee next season?
I don't think Giannis is asking out.
Because the whole Giannis superstar next to leave and all that is getting louder.
That's not reality. That's people talking. That's first take. Now maybe it is reality. Maybe Giannis is walking around going, I'm out of here. This place sucks.
Well, because when he throws out the little, like, oh, but, yeah, like, it, like, maybe they get me out of here if we don't win and stuff like that.
Laying the groundwork.
Yeah.
What if Milwaukee does that? What if Milwaukee just trades him? Would anyone believe that Milwaukee, like, if the Bucks traded Giannis in February. Giannis doesn't say a single word. Would anyone believe that the Bucks, if that trade happened, would anyone believe that the Bucks just did it? Or would everyone automatically assume that Giannis went to them and said, I need to get out of here?
I don't know. I don't know if they, if Giannis would have went to them and said, trade me. But I believe there's a conversation. I would believe there was a conversation that happened, and Giannis said, yeah, go ahead and trade me.
So Giannis is in a lose-lose. Because in the scenario I'm presenting, Giannis doesn't do anything. But the second the Bucks make that move, even though he didn't do it publicly, we're all assuming, well, no team has the balls to do that, so Giannis must have went to them privately and told them he wanted out.
But in that scenario, like, this is how I believe it would go. This is how I would do it if I was the GM, if I was the owner of the Bucks. And I'm having these thoughts like, man, you know, we're not the championship contender anymore. Hey, call Giannis, bring him in here. Hey, Giannis, man, we're going to have to, like, chill on these all-in moves. We're going to have to start to kind of rebuild some things. We're not bottoming out, but we got to kind of replenish this thing, like kind of how we talked about with the 49ers. We can't just go trading draft picks no more. Like, we need to, like, get those and keep those. Are you okay with that? Are you there main for a couple of years? There may not be a move where we go get Dame. Are you in this for the long haul?
Yeah, I think you lose if you do that.
What you mean lose what?
I think you lose everything if you go to Giannis and ask, like, are you okay doing this? I call Golden State. Y'all say you want Giannis. What's it look like?
What you mean lose everything? Like, you lose him?
No, you lose leverage because there's no way that stays quiet.
But what if you don't?
That doesn't stay quiet. Giannis immediately leaves the meeting and calls his agent. What do you think his agent does?
But this is what I'm asking. This is what I'm saying. Giannis, you down to stay? If he says yes, then there ain't no conversations.
But who's that good for? Who's that good for if he stays? Who's that good? Like, if you're Milwaukee, how so?
Because you got Giannis there, the greatest player in your franchise, or one of the two greatest players in your franchise's history, there forever. He's Dirk. And you build around.
And you
around
think they're going to keep coming? You build. You just said we're emptying the cupboard.
Well, we're not emptying the cupboard. What I'm saying is we're not trading draft picks no more. We're going to try and develop. We're going to try and work some young guys.
Maybe the days of building. How old is Giannis? Because I feel like the days of building around Giannis are over.
30?
I think so.
He might have turned 30 this summer, I think, or something like that.
So that means the guy they draft in June might be good when Giannis is 33.
I'm telling you, this is how
I do it.
And we don't, so you would trade him.
Hey, Giannis, I just talked to Dunleavy and Lakeup, and I think we got something lined up for you to go to Golden State. How do you feel about that? He tells me how he feels about it. Well, good. We did the trade.
I don't know if I trade Giannis.
You don't trade Giannis unless he says he's ready to be traded.
That's fine. I'm perfectly okay with that. As long as these franchises and these media people don't bitch about it. Because I don't think all of that stuff that comes from the media is just the media. It comes from their friends in front offices and owners. And this player is holding us hostage. And this player is doing this. And this player is doing that.
Giannis is 30 next month, by the way.
Oh, he just turns 30.
Let me reframe this as a question. Can you build the way that you just described? Can you build around Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yes. There's ways you could do it. Like, you still have the Dame piece. You can move Dame and get, and I'm not saying this guy is somebody you built, but you can move Dame and get Tyler Hero and a couple picks from Miami.
You can build with Tyler Hero. That's perfectly fine.
But you don't have to.
We know you can get Tyler Hero for Dame Lillard. Everybody knows that.
You don't have to bottom out and keep Giannis. Like, you can get some pieces around him. Start to build. When I talk about build, I'm talking about getting some. They don't have no draft picks worth anything right now. Or they hadn't in the past years. They've been, you know, using them in these trades. Get that back. Maybe start to develop some guys.
They have no draft picks and no 3 through 15 depth.
You're getting a little money. This year, they don't. But that's why I'm having a conversation with Giannis. Giannis, we're going to have to start building this thing up a little bit more than what we're doing. The Dame thing.
And then what if Giannis says no? Like, I'm not good with that.
All right, then that's our original thing. He said, yeah, he's the one that said he wanted to leave.
So it always falls back. So it has to fall on the player then. You as an organization, you just told me you're giving up.
Not giving up, restarting.
Yeah, we're pivoting a little bit because this doesn't work. We can't keep doing this way. We have to pivot to try and build this thing back up. We want you to stay, but we're not gonna hold you hostage. If you aren't with this and you want to go, we'll accommodate you. But hear me when I say, I don't want you to go. I'm coming to you out of respect. Because you're Giannis Antetokounmpo. You're the best player this franchise has ever seen. I'm coming to you out of respect. This
Which
is what
again,
we're doing.
Puts it on the player to say, yeah, I don't want to go through a rebuild.
And
it took so long to get to the point we were. I don't want to go through that. Now it's on me, and I'm the bad guy.
I understand you feeling you're the bad guy, and I understand what that would look like in the media. But it still is what it is. This is the direction we're going. You don't want to be here. For that. Like, we can sugarcoat it as I'm made out to be the bad guy or whatever, but that's what it is. This is the direction we're going. You're telling me you don't want to be here for this. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I do. I'd be like, okay, cool. Get my ass out of here then. I'll call my agent now. You deal with him moving forward. You don't talk to me.
Okay. But you gotta wear that though.
Yeah, like, I'm sure Giannis or any star player wouldn't have an issue wearing it. But and I think they all do. But I believe most of these conversations come from what you just said. Organizations going, and whether they frame it as we're going to go get Tyler Hero instead of Dame Lillard, or we've just got to start over and fix this salary cap. Either way, it's your ass. You're the one going to be on First Take. Not me. Nobody even knows my name. You're going to be on First Take. You have to be the one to stand up and say, yeah, I don't want to do this.
So what's the alternative?
It's maybe there isn't one. But what the owners do is, or what general managers do, I think with a player like Giannis, ownership has to be involved. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to run. I don't know where this perception came through that you have to run a trade by a star player. You don't. If the Warriors want to trade Steph Curry tomorrow, they can. They don't because they're not stupid, but they can. But it always falls on the player to go, I don't want to do this. It's why LeBron signs one-year deals. It's why LeBron signs 1+1. You're not going to put him in that position. Rob Pelinka, if you've got the balls to trade LeBron James, you can do it. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait to see what my decision is in the offseason. I'm not going to get framed like that.
And that's fine, and that's okay too. But then I'm just playing the flip side, RIP,
damn
to the situation.
Side.
Now as a front office, oh, man. All these years I gave to them and they just traded me like I'm nothing. Oh, that's how they treat their players. That's how they treat their players over there. You're going to have to wear that too. You can do it however you want to, but just know it's not scot-free if you just say I left the player out of it and I traded Steph Curry without even talking to him.
But who are you talking about in that scenario?
You're talking about the public perception and the talk around the league.
Of who?
Of the front office, of Joe Lacob,
that's what I'm
of Mike Dunleavy,
saying.
And all
that's
those
what
guys.
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's always the player's reputation that has to be damaged.
And what, it's never the front office.
Toronto's reputation was damaged when they traded DeMar DeRozan. There's no loyalty in this game.
Sir, their reputation was not damaged.
Because they won.
They went and got, with all due respect to DeMar DeRozan, Kawhi Leonard was a better player.
If they would have lost in the second round, that would have been the only reason. Masai is not, I shouldn't say the only reason, but part of the reason why nobody's saying
why.
It's because they won.
Absolutely.
If they would have lost in the second round.
If it didn't happen, they won. Okay. How you gonna criticize? How you?
I'm not criticizing. I'm telling you, this is what the game is.
They didn't take a hit. That front office did not take a hit. Only DeMar DeRozan might have been upset, but it doesn't matter. They won. Okay. They look at it like the move worked.
Okay. So. Okay.
Am I wrong?
You're not. They won. So it don't matter. I'm just telling you that. What was the whole thing? What are they talking about on sports? Oh, man, this game, there ain't no loyalty in this game. That's dirty. Danny Ainge and all the stuff with Isaiah Thomas, that's dirty. They didn't talk to Isaiah Thomas.
That didn't have nothing to do with nothing. It's what they put Isaiah.
They didn't talk to him, though.
No.
They just moved his ass.
No, what you did is your whole medical staff screwed up his entire career. You knew that, and you traded him. That's the difference.
Should they have talked to him, or should they have not traded
him? No, they don't have to talk to him. They don't have to talk to him, but that's not even a comparable story. That organization destroyed his career and then discarded him. That's the difference. They did not trade a healthy player, and they were the only ones that knew that. Danny Ainge should be thrown out of the goddamn league for that. Everybody else was. Go look up those team doctors for the Boston Celtics. Not one of them is on a staff. Oh, but Danny in Utah working, happy as can be. With his stupid-ass hat on that he had on the other day. Hair hanging out of it, looking ridiculous. He looks like a homeless man. Hey, get your boy. Don't sit over there quiet. I'm talking about your boy.
What?
Talk about former Sacramento King Danny Ainge. Looks like a homeless man.
Danny Ainge won games.
We can talk about it when we get back, but Warren asked the questions. How did Kings and Vlade look with DeMarcus?
Again, a different scenario. They look terrible. Why, though?
Because they told DeMarcus one thing and they did something else?
Not only did they tell him, they announced it publicly. And it was like a week later. Had every team in the league going, I would have done it. Well, it wasn't every team in the league. Once again, it was your boy.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I'm glad they didn't
trade
him there. I didn't want that happening.
We'll come back, man. Stilo and Casey here on ESPN 1320. Kenny brought our attention to an article that he was not allowed to be named, wrote over at The Athletic.
Co-wrote.
Yeah, the other guy just isn't named because he's annoying. But they talk about different trade targets. Walker Kessler, for example. Jonathan Kuminga. Jalen Green, who's having a good start to the season.
He is.
And then there's old...
Big win last night.
Yeah. Keegan Murray. Here's the Kings' dilemma. They're legitimately all in on Murray, which makes it quite challenging to be all in on the prospect of adding another star from elsewhere. That was the case when they pursued Lauri Markkanen before the draft in June, just as it was in similar scenarios for other players before then. But Murray is the only young player in the Kings' employ who can change the course of a trade conversation, meaning he will likely be requested every time they are discussing the prospect of landing a player of any repute. As is the case with every other player on the list, the truth is that this season could change the internal calculus regarding their uncertain future. If Murray is a pivotal part of another Kings playoff run, or maybe even a first-round victory, that would be the organization's first since 2004, then one would think an extension is forthcoming. But if Murray struggles to find his place in this crowded Sacramento offense, and if the Kings fail to take the step forward that is so crucial to their plans in the process, then the landscape could change. 4 games in, Murray has managed to produce while sharing the load with heavy usage players such as De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, DeMar DeRozan, and Malik Monk. He's averaging 14.3, 7 rebounds, teams plus minus mark early juncture. But, none of that last stuff matters. I don't think any of that is crazy, to be honest. I don't think I agree with it, but I don't think that was a particularly fire take from he who will get in trouble if we say his name.
My thought is They I don't think they would be trading for someone that, how do I put this, that would require you to trade Keegan Murray. Like, if the Kings are making a trade, because they're, I don't want to say they're a finished product, but I do look at that Kings roster and the starting lineup specifically, and it's like, well, kind of what more do you want? You guys need to figure this out. Like, who are you getting realistically? Yeah. Who are you getting that's better than Keegan Murray? Or who are you getting that would fit better than Kevin Huerter that would require you to trade Keegan Murray? So, like, off the top of my head, Kevin Huerter is the starting two guard. Say you wanted to upgrade from that position. And I'm throwing a name out there just because this is what I feel is a little bit of an upgrade. Say you get Zach LaVine, that caliber of player. Now you got to worry about, all right, we do need to make sure we have a little balance here. We can't have a scorer like De'Aaron Fox, a scorer like Zach LaVine, a scorer like DeMar DeRozan, a guy like Sabonis, and just think that's supposed to work cohesively. We do need somebody that's going to be okay with getting 8 shots in a game. You know what I mean? So if you're trying to trade for a person that's going to take you over the top, that's going to require you Keegan Murray, I think that brings along its own set of problems. Does that make sense, everything I just said?
Yes and no. So you don't think Keegan could attract a higher quality type of player?
I think he could, but now you have other questions. And I used a Zach LaVine. To get, maybe not because of his contract, but work with me. To get a caliber player of Zach LaVine's caliber, they would ask for Keegan Murray. To get that Zach LaVine type player in there, now you got questions of, hey, we're talking basketball. Do we have enough basketballs to go around here? Like, because Zach LaVine needs his 17 looks a night. Yeah. DeMar DeRozan needs his looks. Yeah. Fox needs his looks. Sabonis needs his look. I don't think that's a good balance of your
offense.
Yeah,
and I don't think that's the type of guy that they're looking for, which I think goes back to your original point.
That's what I'm saying.
The guy you're looking for doesn't exist.
Because
What you need is a guy who can do, because if you're trying to replace Keegan Murray, mm-hmm. and if you believe Keegan was an integral part, or he wasn't an integral part of what you did, or you didn't do enough, then you're looking for a two-way player. You're looking for a guy who can play defense at least at the level of Keegan Murray, mm-hmm. but score at a higher rate. Who is that?
Now we're talking like Paul George.
The old Paul George.
Right.
Yeah, you're not, that's not, a, right. You can't draft 5 years ago Paul George. Mm-hmm. You can't draft 6 years ago Klay Thompson.
Those guys aren't available right now. And I don't even know if you would, I don't know if you, it goes back to the other point I said, I don't even know if that's the kind of guy you need. You would need like a Finney Smith. Like, because you've got enough offense, you've got enough creators, you're looking for a 3-and-D type guy on the wing. That's not going to require you to lose Keegan Murray.
We're 4 games in. I don't think we need to get uncomfortable. But if this thing fails for the Kings, I don't think Keegan's the guy they're looking at. I mean, I
smell what you're cooking. At least I think I smell what you're cooking.
I think you do. Yeah. And again, I don't think there's a reason to discuss that. I just don't know how, if this thing falls flat, you look and go, God damn it, Keegan. I don't think that's what you do.
Well, I will say this. If this thing falls flat, that's the move first.
Keegan?
Yeah.
I disagree.
Because
I think the only way you can... I think the only way you can... Okay, go ahead.
Because after Keegan, there's only 2 more moves left to make.
Right.
So you're going to make that move first to exhaust all possibilities with those guys.
I think I disagree.
Now... there's a contract situation as well that
I think that's
that plays
the move
a part
you make
into
first.
It. Well, I think if you do that.
And by the way, I don't think any of this is happening.
I don't either. I also think if you do that, then it's all going to smithereens.
I don't agree with that either. I think you can get I think you could get something in return. And you still have Domas, you still have De'Aaron, or you still have DeMar, and you have Keegan, who is a young player kind of finding his way. I don't know what you get in the market, period, whether you're talking Keegan or De'Aaron. I have no idea. But, yeah, like, I don't go to Keegan first, I think. Unless there's just something you can plain point to. At some point, you have to look elsewhere and go, why does this keep falling short?
Yeah, I think if you do
And that, you better have clear answers, too, because you're now your entire job is on the line.
I think if you do that, it is an absolute reset.
I do not agree with that at all. I do not agree with that at all. You have to, obviously you have to get something back in return, but I don't agree with that at all. And I also don't believe any of this is happening because I don't think the Kings season is going to hell.
I don't think so either. And I also don't think, like we were also saying as well, is what the Kings need, what I believe they need, because I think they've got a lot of it already. That's where I was like, what more do you really need that will require Keegan Murray?
Right.
What you need wouldn't require you to trade Keegan Murray, in my opinion. So I understand like what they're talking about. You know, just
he's podding a little bit.
They podding a little bit. You know, got a job to do. I understand it, but what they need, you can get without trading Keegan Murray.
I understand his line of thinking in this write up in The Athletic, but it's also like, how could you change your mind in a year? Like that type of decision where, like, if it's and I don't know, I wasn't privy to the conversations, but let's talk about who they were linked to: OG, Siakam, Lauri Markkanen. We know those as undeniable. Yep. We know that those happened. I'm not trading Keegan. All of a sudden, a year passes and you go, you know what? All right, I'm open to it now. Well, wait a minute. One of those guys was exactly what you needed. The other guy fit perfectly. The other guy, I think he fit perfectly too. And you said no to all three of those. And now all of a sudden you're like, okay, no, they're not going to do that. That's ridiculous. Okay, execute the trade. Good. Okay, now you're fired. Because you're not, you go execute a trade for Keegan Murray today. Are you getting anyone better than the three players that we know for a fact that they were linked to?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Good, trade's done. Get your stuff and get out of my office. and I don't. Monty is way too analytical and cerebral. They're absolutely not.
No.
There's no scenario where that's reality.
And once again, Miles in the Matthews Master Chatty House says, I think they need Bobby Portis. And I'm not disagreeing with that, but Bobby Portis wouldn't require you to move on from Keegan Murray.
No.
And that's the type of guy we're talking about they need to make a deal for. A rotational guy that may finish games for you sometimes, whether it's offense or defense, a guy that can add something that maybe you don't have right now. And yeah, I don't think that requires Keegan Murray. And anything that you would consider or anyone you would consider trading Keegan Murray for, like you mentioned, I don't think that person exists or is available right now.
Yeah. Give me Klay Thompson from 2014 and let's go.
Yeah.
Athletics just out here stirring it up. Let's give some love to Book real quick. Cause I know James going to join us here in a minute. We got in a long conversation about the Bucks and Giannis and a whole. I guess today's show is just based in like never land because we're just talking like a million hypotheticals here. We got on this thing about the Bucks and Giannis when we were trying to look around the league, and you mentioned the big win from the Rockets. They beat Dallas. Both of those teams are at 3-2. The Suns look a lot better to start this season than I expected. They're 4-1. Book dropped 40 last night.
I was coming from behind victory, too.
Yeah.
They were down, I don't want to say big, but they were down significantly.
Yep. And, yeah, they beat the Clippers 125-119. The Suns have started off this season pretty strong.
Yeah. Solid team. Budenholzer's doing a good job with them. And, you know, I'm not overly impressed with them, but I think they're a good team. I think they're a good team. I think they're potential lock for top six. Like, I haven't put them there yet, but they look good enough where it's like, oh, no, that's top 16 for sure. They were last year, too, but they got it by the skin of their teeth.
They were six, right?
This year, yeah. This year, I think they could potentially be there a little bit more comfortably.
You buying Golden State yet? They're 4-1.
They look really good so far.
They do.
I'm not necessarily buying them as a lock for a top six or to be this type of team all year. But look, we get our jokes off or whatever. Maybe Buddy Hield has found a spot that works best for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he continues to play at a high level throughout the year, him, Steph, Kuminga, you know, now he's kind of coming off the bench and doing his thing. They got some firepower offensively. My concern with them is, you know, it's a jump shooting team. Are you going to be able to do that all year long? And then also the size. You know, when you go up against bigger teams, that may be an issue. But I do think they're a good team. I do think a lot of what I've seen from them so far is legit. So keep my eye on them.